Live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters, you're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hello, hello, gentlemen, and welcome once again to yet another episode of the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. My name is Scott McKay, at Scott McKay on Twitter and Parler, Scott McKay on YouTube, Real Scott McKay on Instagram. You can find us on the web at mountaintoppodcast.com. If you haven't joined the Facebook group yet, you got to do this, man. You got to be there with us. We're talking about amazing things nowadays, especially at a time that's trying all of our patience, challenging us in so many ways. There has never been a better time than right now, to join the group of men who want to be the best men they can be at the Mountaintop Summit on Facebook. Join us there, gentlemen. You can actually find a shortcut directly to that Facebook page by going to mountaintoppodcast.com/Facebook. With me today is a new friend of mine. He's a great guy. He and I are getting along like brothers from another mother already. His name is Nick Shelton, and he is from ConnectedIntrovert.com. Now, listen, guys, I know some of you guys are extroverts. Some of you guys are introverts. Please don't tune out, because the topic we're going to discuss today is only tangentially related to that. And it's be seen, be known, be remembered. You know what we're going to talk about today? Let's just throw it on the table. It's all about being influential. Being a man who leaves this world a better place than he found it. Being a man who has an impact on those around him, hopefully in the best way possible. So without anything further, Nick Shelton, welcome, man. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, man. Your book, which is available on Amazon, and I'll link to it, of course, is An Introvert's Guide to World Domination. And that's such a fantastic yet ironic title, because when we think of someone who's introverted, the last thing we think of that person wanting to do is anything on a global scale, let alone something that's world domination, because that would seem like something an extrovert would want to do. Get that kind of attention, dominate the world, have that need for approval like that. So how did you come up with that title? It's really attention grabbing.
Well, thank you. And it's about dominating both the inner world and the outer world. And, you know, introverts also want the same opportunities as extroverts have. And, you know, if you're living in the shadows a lot, then you're missing out by seeing somebody who, you know, the extrovert might step up, get that promotion, get the girl, while you're sitting there saying, hey, I'm just as qualified. I should have been able to do that. But instead of stepping up, maybe in my mind, I was thinking, oh, this is what I should say here. But then I don't say it, where the other person might actually step up, say it, take that action. And then they get those opportunities and access to people. But introverts also want those opportunities and access to those same people as well.
I see what you did there. An introvert's guide to world domination includes his inner world, or her inner world, as well as the outer world.
Yes.
So obviously I have to ask the question. It seems like inner world domination would certainly precede any kind of outward world domination, at least if you're going about it the right way. Otherwise, it's a cart before the horse, no?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You have to know yourself and kind of know what your goals are also, and what you ultimately want to do, and then set yourself up, know what your weaknesses and your strengths are, and then taking that and using it as an advantage to be able to move forward in out into the world, so you can be, you know, seen, known, remembered, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, it would seem like that would transcend what your personality type is even, right? Extroverts and introverts alike need to understand who they are, what they're passionate about, what drives them, what their values are, have that foundation built before they even think about how they're going to turn that passion outwardly and what their ambitions are going to be relative to the world at large, right?
Right. Yeah, because if you don't, then it's going to be a much more difficult path, because I'm sure you've heard it said, people use this example many times about using a GPS. If you don't put in the destination, then you're just driving around and it can't really tell you where to go. But if you say, this is where I'm trying to go, then it's much easier. It works the way it's supposed to. So the same with yourself. If you know what you're trying to actually do or accomplish or get, and then you can get the path down much easier and have everything fall into place and get the resources to help you along the way.
Yeah, it would seem at best you're going to be apathetic if you're trying to spin your wheels doing something you're not really interested in doing. And at worst, you'll be a flat-out phony.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's turn our attention to this idea of being seen, being known, and being remembered. I guess the baseline question there, Nick, would be, why does that even matter? And why is that something that so many of us as men yearn for?
So as far as being seen, so there's a lot of people that say, well, I'm just going to kind of fly below the radar. But especially in these modern times, what's going on right now, if you try to do that, there's people that are getting laid off. If you're one of those below the radar people, you're most likely in the front of the line to get laid off. If you are can get in the spotlight a bit and be known, then there's a chance, you know, as long as you're known for something good, that you will be the last of the layoffs and you'll be first for those promotion opportunities or any opportunities that might come along because you are known. And so I think that men worldwide, by being, you know, seen and not blending in, you don't want to blend in, you want to stand out. Even though some people, it kind of grates against them to stand out, but you want to stand out because that also helps you get remembered. And when people know who you are, they remember you, you're seen, then your voice will be heard. You can put your two cents in and it'll matter for something. And you're going to get those opportunities and you will be last to get the layoff or not be included in something. You will be able to take advantage of a lot more things.
Now, despite the simple fact that I rarely use such a crass phrase, I can't resist such a layup, if you will, of an analogy. You know, if you're reserved and you're quiet and you're okay with being under the radar, like you said, you know, you just mentioned that you're the first to get laid off. Well, you're also the last to get laid. Which I know
right,
is
yes.
An interest to a lot of guys on this show. And, you know, obviously I don't use that crass term often, but I couldn't help making the analogy because, like I said, it was a layup, right?
Yeah.
Pun intended. Do you think there's any rocket science behind this idea that if you're not being noticed by the general population, then you're having a hard time with women also? I mean, couldn't we at least go meet those women and say, hey, here I am, notice me, and have it work out for us? You know, obviously that's a setup of a question, but I'd love to hear you riff on it nonetheless. You know, what's your take
right,
on
well,
that?
It goes hand in hand. So if you're not going to just be quiet and below the radar, it's not like you're Clark Kent everywhere else. And then when you're around women, all of a sudden you hop in the phone booth, the big S on your chest shows up, and now you're some smooth operator with the ladies. You know, when you're developing your communication skills and dealing with people, that also goes hand in hand with handling women as well. And so if you become good at one, usually it bleeds over into the other. So just if you're good in the workplace, if you're good just generally socializing with people, then usually you'll also be fairly good at communicating with women. I have met guys that have been really outgoing, really extroverted and in the spotlight in the workplace, and then really quiet around women and not be able to function properly around them. So that does exist as well. But, you know, once you know that, identify that, then you can, you know, put forward the steps to get better at it. You know, everybody has to start somewhere.
Right, exactly. Indeed. Virtually every guy I know, regardless of personality type, struggles with the idea of approaching women, making conversation with them, either because we fear rejection, which an extrovert, perhaps ironically, would really fear,
right,
perhaps even more than an introvert. or that they fear they're bothering women in the Me Too era, you know, and stuff like that. So what you're saying really resonates with a lot of these guys. But getting back to the main point here, which is being seen, being known, and being remembered, it seems to me what you're really underscoring here, Nick, is the idea of communication skill and really social skill in general being the first outward step to that goal of being influential, being remembered.
Right. Yes, it's very important because, yes, if you are not communicating correctly, then, yeah, it's going to get in the way of you being known. It's going to get in the way of you being remembered. Once again, you are going to fall by the wayside if you're not developing those skills. And I know a lot of people think that it's really difficult to develop those skills. But some people have it naturally, the gift of gab and all of that. But, you know, a lot of people have to develop it. And then once again, if we go back to the women part, then there's like a different section of it that you might have to develop. But you hear the gym analogy a lot, like when you go to build those muscles, you have to actually do the exercises. You can't just watch a video about somebody exercising and have it happen. You have to actually do it. And this is the same thing. You have to take the steps in actually going out and communicating with people the right way. And I know we're going to get to it, but there's the wrong way. Like I mentioned, shallow networking is one of the terms that I use. And that is when people try to leverage other people to gain something. So they'll walk in and say, who can I leverage in here to get what I want? And that's the wrong way to do it. What you want to do is make real connections, real friendships, and communicate, with people that are going to actually be enjoyable to be around, that enjoy your company as well, that you find some common interests with. And then the doors just naturally open up. You don't have to try to force any doors open. It just naturally happens. And that also with the women scene, I try to say, instead of doing it this modern way that people do it, like with the apps, if you actually go out face to face and you don't have to try to go on a single date per se right away where it's like a job interview, you can just show up at social events, and that way you can be more in your natural atmosphere. Any women there will see you in your natural atmosphere and they can size you up, and then you can see them and how they act, and then maybe you can actually ask around, get some more information so you have some background information. They can do the same about you. Maybe someone will vouch for you. And then maybe the next time there's a similar social situation, you'll both be there. And then you can, so maybe the first time you just said hello. Then the next time you can actually have a light conversation. And then you can say, hey, have you heard about this other similar social thing happening next week? Are you going to that? And then they might not have heard about it. Then they'll show up. Once again, you're both there. And then from there, you've had enough time to kind of see each other in these natural group settings where there's just people around. There's no pressure. You're not on a date. And then if it seems like you're clicking, then you can say, hey, I have tickets to this one thing, or do you want to do this? And then you can take it off to the side on your own. And, you know, you've done this pre-work. And so without it being a date or like a job interview where you have to act a certain way, but then you might have gotten to know them a little bit at a time and kind of vouch for them and they vouch for you. And then you can go out and then you can actually have your first date, but it's really you've been around this person in this other sort of atmosphere beforehand, and that takes all the pressure off. And I've seen a lot of people have a lot of great success with that. I know I kind of got off the question a little bit, but I thought it was something that your audience might like to hear, that technique.
No, I think it's absolutely on point, actually. And it seems so simple when discussed so clearly, doesn't it? But a lot of guys are trying to come up with tips and tactics and tricks and the right pickup line and the right situation and exactly the moment when they can catch lightning in a bottle. And in reality, women are people. You know, just like you would network with other business owners if you're an entrepreneur at a Chamber of Commerce event. You would network with other parents at a PTA meeting, you know, getting to know women, they're human. And if you're getting along with them and you're connecting, then you're going to naturally want to spend more time together. And one of the other things you mentioned were apps. And I'm on record repeatedly on this show talking about how apps are a cesspool nowadays.
Yes.
But one thing that I think does need to be stated clearly is we are recording this show and releasing it in a time where women are still behind masks out there in most places. And we're dealing with perhaps even a resurgence of COVID lockdowns. And indeed, people are just snarky and snippy with each other because of a combination of lots of things that are making us angry, at least here in the United States of America, and indeed in other places abroad also. So for a lot of these guys, I think they're filing away your recommendation as futures. But I would caution against drawing that conclusion immediately, because there still are opportunities out there to meet women, to brighten their day, and to, well, to bring this full circle relative to our topic at hand, be influential by being a voice of optimism, being a voice of calm, as we've talked about on this show. And in a microcosmic sense, at least, there's a golden opportunity to be influential. Right, Nick?
Yes. Use this time to your advantage. One thing that I tell people about, you know, with these the lockdowns and maybe future lockdowns, if you're at home, there's a lot of people sitting at home, and instead of getting on apps, you can reach out. So if there is a meetup group, some kind of group that you find interesting, so for example, I'll just say beekeeping, you know, so if there's like said, hey, beekeeping's interesting, or if there's something, an event with people that you might not be interested in the actual group, but you might be interested in the type of people that might be there. So, say, antique car group, then, you might not be into antique cars, but you might say, I'd like to meet people that are into antique cars. And so every type of group will have some kind of online forum, and you can get onto that online forum and just kind of observe, see who there's going to be two or three talkers that do most of the talking on there. And then you can kind of piggyback on some of their comments and, you know, keep it light and keep it fun, ask a few questions. And then, and this is what I call being pre-known. And what happens is if you are on those online forums and you start engaging with some of the main people on there, then, so let's say it's Jim and Susan, then when you are actually able to go to a face-to-face event, then you can say, hey, Jim, hey, Susan, I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Please look for me, and it's going to be a great time. And then this way, when you're walking in, you're not just walking into a cold atmosphere. You're walking into, there's going to be Jim and Susan both there. They're going to be looking for you. You're looking for them. So you're kind of getting pre-known. And if you can get pre-known, it's kind of like a pre-approved credit card. You're already halfway there. And so now you're walking in into a warm atmosphere where you can just go in, confirm those relationships is what I call it. So you'll go up, you know, shake some hands. They'll be looking for you. You've already had a few light online conversations, and then they can introduce you to the rest of the people that are around that they know. And since they are the big movers and shakers on the online forum, they probably are fairly popular in the face-to-face meetup as well. So that, just getting pre-known, really helps plant the seeds. So while you are sitting at home, if you are under a lockdown condition or something like that, you can start, you know, building this out right now, setting the foundation. So when you can go back out again, you're walking out empowered and into situations where you've already made those initial connections. And now all you have to do is just go and solidify those when it's actually time to show up.
Well, I think that's outstanding advice. The only caveat I would issue is if you become pre-known, if you build those relationships, plant those seeds, however you want to put it, to whatever extent you take it online, you're going to have to make sure you make good on that when you actually show up. You
yes.
can't treat these people like strangers because all of a sudden you're shy and you clammed up and you're like, oh my God, you know, this is kind of a different paradigm. Are these really the people I was talking to online? Are they really going to be the same people? And I would also extend that to women you're flirting with online.
Right.
Guys, if you're taking things to a sexual level, to a very flirtatious level with women you're talking to online, you can't wimp out when you meet her. She'll feel right. rejected. I'm just saying, you know. On a lighter note, you were talking about beekeeping as an example. And yes, the thought just flashed into my mind because this is how I'm wired. After 15 years of being immersed in this, beekeeping pickup lines are just way too easy.
Yes.
You know, hey, honey, yes. I got your stinger right here, baby. You know.
Yes, that is true.
Way too easy. Okay. No, I love it. And you're saying things that make sense and they're actually doable. They're accessible and seem workable, actionable for these guys. I love everything you're saying so far. And something else you also mentioned that I don't think we gave attention to previously in this conversation is how you have to kind of put in the work to be seen, be known, be remembered.
Yes.
That's not necessarily true for everybody. Okay. My wife and I have laughed before. Hey, you want a Wikipedia page? It's incredibly easy. All you have to do is go commit a mass murder and boom, you have a Wikipedia page. You know, just shoot a bunch of people dead and, you know, you're famous. And I know that's not something we should laugh at, but
right. It
is very true. And in case any of you guys haven't noticed, when did the school shootings, the mass shootings in the United States really kind of start waning? Well, someone's out there saying, well, nobody's in school, genius. None of the malls are open. Yeah, but you know what? People are really, really angry nowadays. And you think someone would have snapped, you know, and caused a big mass shooting of the kind that was getting press, certainly a couple few years ago on a much more regular basis. Do you know what the press agreed to stop doing? They stopped mentioning the name of the shooter.
Yes.
They stopped turning these people into celebrities. And, you know, it worked. I mean, not completely. I mean, certainly there are people out there committing crimes, and that's terrible. But since El Paso in the United States, there really hasn't been a grand scale mass shooting. And that's because I think there's something to whatever sickness is going on in the mind of a potential mass shooter that they think they're going to be a hero for doing this.
Right.
They're going to go down in history, perhaps infamously. And whatever darkness is in their soul makes that sound like something fun and cool to them. Like they're the next Hannibal Lecter or something crazy like that. And that's obviously a very bad way to become known for something. A guy I know who unfortunately passed away very tragically last year by the name of Sean Stevenson, became very well known for overcoming a lot of personal challenges in his life due to having been born with osteogenesis imperfecta, aka brittle bone disease. And if any of you guys listening know who Sean Stevenson is, he appeared on David D'Angelo's stage so many times. And despite being 3 feet tall and in a wheelchair permanently, was very attractive to women and a very good flirt. And I've had several interviews with him over the years. And one of the topics that we got onto talking about during one of the interviews was not being sorry for yourself and kind of accepting yourself for who you are. And I asked Sean, I said, you know, how do you think your life would be different had you not been born with osteogenesis imperfecta? And I'll never forget his response. He goes, hey, you know what? Here's one thing about having osteogenesis imperfecta that has always worked in my favor. He said, no one who has ever met me has forgotten me. Everybody remembers meeting me. Everywhere I go, people come to me and go, hey, do you remember the time that we met here and there? And he says, being honest, I don't necessarily always remember everybody, but everybody always remembers me. And that's something I've always used to my advantage. And I thought that was so viscerally honest of him. A guy who went through his life with a lot of people feeling sorry for him and saying, oh man, this poor guy, I'm so glad he was born that way, not me. Nick Vujicic is another guy who I'm sure plenty of you guys know. He was born without any arms or legs from birth. And he has become a motivational speaker with a very similar positive mindset that Sean Stevenson had. And these guys amaze others, but their ability to take the hand that life has dealt them and create so much positive energy about it is legendary. But let's face it, for most of us guys, it requires a little more direct intention to separate ourselves from the crowd. We have to be smarter. We have to be more talented we have to be better at what we do. And it seems like, you know, notwithstanding the Paris Hiltons of the world, who nobody knows how in the world they got famous, most of the people who are well known on any scale for what they do have earned it. And I'm sure a lot of guys are out there saying, well, you know, there's nothing special about me. There's nothing, there are no lemons to turn into lemonade here. And there's nothing I'm really particularly talented at. So what about me? You know, how can my introversion become a superpower? Or even if I'm extroverted, how can I be seen, be known, and be remembered when there are 7.5 billion people on the planet?
Exactly. So one thing that people can do right now that is also really, really awesome that'll help them out, especially during these times, is I always hear people talk about maintaining their relationships, because if you start building your relationships and you aren't maintaining them, then it's all for nothing. And most people that I meet are, I would say the majority of people are bad at maintaining their relationships. So one thing that they can do is what I recommend, and people can do this right now, and I do it quarterly, every 3 months. I go through all of my telephone contacts and I go through all of my email contacts, both my work and personal email contacts. And then I make a list of everyone that I have not touched base with in the past 3 months. And then you don't have to do it all in one day, but every day I'll just chip away at that list. And what I like to do is I'll record a video on my phone because it's more personal. They get to see me and hear me, and I'll make a video to them and say, hey, how have you been? It's been a little while. You know, how's the new baby or whatever has been going on, whatever it is that the last thing we talked about, I just kind of catch up with them in a little video. It's easy to do. I send it over, and then to, you know, save space on my phone, then I'll delete the video off my phone, but they get the video. And then what that does is it keeps you to the top of people's minds. And in your whole network, people know, oh, he remembered me and he's sent me this video. Sometimes they'll send a video back. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes they'll might send a text or an email. But people like being remembered. They like that you took the time out just to catch up, even if it's just in a small, short video. And then that keeps all those doors open in all of these relationships that you've built over time, and it just keeps everything fresh. And a lot of times, if somebody has an opportunity that might be right for you, they say, oh, hey, Scott, we were just thinking about you the other day. Hey, thanks for sending that video. Hey, I have an opportunity for you. Or if someone has a lady they'd like to introduce you to also, they might say, hey, you know, do we know anyone that would be good for her? And then when you pop up, they might say, oh, hey, that's right. Hey, he might be a great fit for, you know, Luann to meet. We should make that happen. So there's all kinds of advantages. I can't think of any disadvantages, really, but there's all kinds of advantages for helping to maintain your relationship that way. And it doesn't take a lot of time.
Well, that's a fascinating outlook on it, frankly, because I think most people would think of this as searching for their elusive version of Andy Warhol's 15 minutes of fame, hoping it'll rocket them to immediate overnight stardom or something. And what I hear you saying is rather we should look at this as eating an elephant one bite at a time. I mean, every connection is one human being closer to having global influence.
Right. Yes.
And yet it seems we live in a world now where people cheapen relationships more than ever before. It's like if we like somebody's Facebook post, okay, we've, you know, paid our dues with this person.
That's not it.
It's
not the same thing.
And so in a world where lots of people have subscribed to that mentality, one immediate practical way to stand out is actually reach out to people for real and see how they're doing. And I think that's powerful. I just think that's fantastic.
Yes. And also, it's one of those things somebody had told me the other day when I was telling them about this. They said someone had reached out to them and it wasn't just to see how they were doing. Someone had asked them for something. They said, hey, can you help me out with this? And they looked and saw that that person, the last time that person had reached out to them was 6 years earlier. And so they're saying, hey, this person hasn't reached out to me in 6 years. And the first thing they do is ask me for something. You know, and that's a totally different thing than if you're actually popping up often, checking in, how are you doing, not asking for anything. I just want to see how you are. How are the kids doing? How's your dog? You know, all that sort of thing. What's the latest? And then maybe, you know, 6 years later, if you did need something, you probably wouldn't even have to ask them. They would already know what you're doing, because you would say, hey, this is what I'm up to. And then they would already know how they could help you, because you would have been in touch. But it's really cheap if you don't connect and then all of a sudden single somebody out and reach out and then ask them for something when you haven't really been keeping in touch. And people notice that. And I know it doesn't go over well with me, and I know it doesn't go over well with most other people that happens to.
Yeah. And that kind of illuminates your previous point, Nick, about trying to seek influence so you can get something out of other people. You know what I mean? If you're giving and you're reaching out to people and you're saying in your mind, what can I do to make other lives better? What can I do to help other people feel better about themselves? What can I give?
Right.
Not only are you going to stand out from the crowd, you're going to be the coolest guy any of those people have ever met, because here it is, gentlemen, and I've said it before, the secret to being cool is to help others feel cool.
Right.
And then you're just beloved. And you're right. There's absolutely nothing worse than the guy who you haven't talked to for years approaching you saying, hey, man. And it's like, okay, what does this guy want? You already know. You already know it's coming. Right. Interestingly enough, I'm on this guy's newsletter who's, you know, a thought leader in his field, and he doesn't really write newsletters much. And every time he ever writes his newsletter list, his list of subscribers, he wants us to do something for him. Like, hey, I'm up for this award. Would you vote for me on Facebook? And it's just like, I always say to myself, I kind of look up and like Charlie Brown say to myself, good grief, yes. You know, that's just not how you do this. You know what right. I mean? And this idea of being a connector is really powerful. And we've talked about it, and we haven't talked about that topic much on this show, or certainly enough. Whereas if you're a person who gives it away in the form of introducing your friends to other people who you think they would like to know, it's amazing how that pays off exponential dividends in terms of you getting what you want and people recommending you and people sending love your way. I mean, it's just kind of how the world revolves, and yet so few people realize it. And it kind of brings me to a point that I want to close the show with. A lot of the guys out there are probably thinking, you know, especially if they're introverts, all this attention seeking, self-promoting, trying to be more influential, man, it really sounds douchey. All the people who beat their own chest are the ones who are surreptitiously and perhaps even dishonestly trying to pretend they care about other people, when deep down, they're probably just blatant, perhaps even clinical narcissists, and are all about, you know, themselves. And absolutely positively, in this election cycle, virtually everybody running for anything, certainly at the national scale, is being accused of doing exactly that. Nobody trusts anybody. Nobody trusts their intentions. Everybody thinks they're all out for number one. Yet, when you follow the simple instruction of honestly, authentically being about making others' lives better, that's how you start building the trust. And that trust is memorable in and of itself, isn't it, Nick? And then next thing you know, people are happier to promote you.
Right.
The biggest mistake guys make when they're attention seekers, when they're approval seekers, is trying to draw attention to themselves, bragging, getting people to notice them. When in reality, if you're more about helping other people out, it'll be amazing how you'll go to cocktail parties and the guy next to you will start saying to other people, you know, when you're talking as a group, hey, do you know this guy? Do you know what he's famous for? This guy does this. Isn't that cool? And the next thing you know, everybody will start giving you the notoriety you've wanted your entire life, perhaps ironically to a lot of guys, because they stop trying to get it. I mean, that's just how human nature works. It's weird, but you know, I think all of us want attention. All of us want to be loved. Being loved, being remembered, isn't just for narcissists. It's for humans. But there's just such a right way to go about it and a wrong way, right?
Yes, I always even remind myself all the time, it's not about me, it's about them. So even when I start feeling nervous or something in a social situation, I say, it's not about me, it's about them. And usually if you make it about them, how can you help them? Then, you know, everything falls into place. Even if you're talking to a pretty girl, it's not about me. It's trying to say, hey, you know, I'm a macho guy and I got some money and I got a cool car or something. You know,
always.
If I make it about them, then, you know, they're happy that I'm making it about them, you know? So it's, but that works not just for women. It works for everybody. If I, just like you said, if I go to a social situation and I'm making sure other people are having a good time, then usually they can't wait to promote me to whoever they think would like to meet me because they are having such a good time when they're around me because I'm trying to make sure they're having a good time. I get my good time from them having a good time. So I'm out to promote them, to make them look good as they can. And then that comes back around to me. But if I just go straight for the, hey, me, it's about me, everybody, then that has the opposite effect. And, you know, that's the quickest way to really start tearing down the relationships. And any relationships you have, they're going to be built on a really bad foundation.
Yet another golden nugget. That's a component of wisdom and a life well lived that is oh so simple, but rarely easy.
Yes.
For so many people. His name is Nick Shelton from ConnectedIntrovert.com. And I want to point you guys to his book on Amazon that's called An Introvert's Guide to World Domination. It's a great book. It's a lot of fun. By now, you know this guy, Nick Shelton, is very down to earth. He knows his stuff. And I invite you to go to mountaintoppodcast.com/Shelton. S-H-E-L-T-O-N, and grab a copy of that book. I'll also put it at the top of the queue on my Amazon influencer page, which you guys can reach by going to mountaintoppodcast.com/Amazon. Nick Shelton, what a great conversation. I'm so glad to meet you, man. I appreciate you very much. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah, man. And guys, if you haven't visited mountaintoppodcast.com in a while, we got some new things there for you. I want to invite you to visit heroesoap.com and start smelling like a man instead of smelling like what you ate for lunch. Okay. Enough said there. Go to mountaintoppodcast.com/heroesoap. Use mountain10 to get 10% off. And listen, guys, over at Origin Maine, Jocko Willink and the fellas are coming out with more items to help you get stronger and better. The coolest kettlebells you've ever seen. They've got new and innovative ways to help you build muscle mass, be more healthy. And I'm going to tell you something. If you haven't gotten your hands on their Mulk protein powder just yet, here's the nuclear weapon. Take a scoop of that stuff and mix it in your morning coffee. Oh, man, that is the hot ticket. I've been doing that now for a couple of weeks. I stumbled upon the idea and now I'm passing it on to you. Get the greatest protein powder you've ever had in your entire life at Origin Maine. And while you're at it, those bison boots, I'm wearing them everywhere, especially as the weather's cooled down a little bit here in South Tejas. And I'm wearing my Origin jeans probably more than any other garment I own in my entire wardrobe. So go on over to mountaintoppodcast.com/origin, O-R-I-G-I-N, and get your hands on any or all of this stuff. And once again, you can use Mountain 10 there also to get an extra 10% off at checkout. And listen, guys, fall is upon us. Talk to me for free for 25 minutes. Let's get your life shaken out. Let's get you in front of the women you already know you deserve to be in front of. Talk to me for free by clicking the red button at mountaintoppodcast.com in the upper right-hand corner, and let's get this part of your life handled. And with that, until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes, And while you're there, sign up for the free X and Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.